Well, you might have seen the nature of the Christian ministries, because we need to know this, that the Christian ministries that we are carrying out, or even our walk with God, really is given to us here in the Scriptures, so that we are aware of what we are, we face, and who we are, and how we should go forward, isn't it? Just to illustrate this point, a friend of mine told a story. He said, I think I shared it with some people. If you are going for a conference and you are telling your friend that I'm going for a conference, and then your friend, and you tell them actually where you are going, and they say, oh, yeah, I know this place. We have been to this place, and the hotel rooms are so amazing. It's so beautiful. So the beds are comfortable, the food is nice, and everything is good. And then you turn up, and it was not really what you were expecting. And you will be greatly disappointed. On the other hand, another person may say to you, if you say to them, I'm going to this place, and they will say, oh, no, this place actually is not a great place. The room are so narrow, so the taps are not working properly, the bed are very bad, and then there you go. And you go there, actually, you were told what you will be expecting. And then it didn't matter for you. The ministry, the services were great, and actually it was not that too bad for you. And it's the same place, but you go to these places with a different mindset. And so that is why it is very important for us as Christians, what we will be expecting, you see, and what do we have, and what are we to expect. When we leave out our faith in this world, it is better for us to be prepared. And that is the nature of our God. He prepares us for the things that are ahead. He may not tell us the details on what exactly the problem you will face, but in general, he will tell you that you will face challenges. And now the account we have, actually we are in Matthew Gospel. And in Matthew Gospel, what we have here is the death of John the Baptist, and the occasion led to his death. But that was mentioned in passing. That was not the thing that really is just given to us here in passing. So what was the thing that was happening? Because here the Bible says at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus. You see, he heard the reports about Jesus and his ministry. And let us see what type of the ministry that Jesus was carrying out and the reports that went afterward when they heard about the activities of Christ and his disciples. That is why we read from chapter 9, isn't it? So we read to there because we need to see what was happening, because Jesus had authority. And his disciple, he gave his disciples authority as well. And John the Baptist also, he was a man acting under authority. So we see these three groups, Jesus himself, the disciples, and John the Baptist, they were doing the same thing. And then on the other hand, we have the opposition, which is really an opposition to the kingdom of God, which is coming with an extraordinary power, you see, and glory. And that is to deliver people from the dominion of Satan and the demons, and that is what we find here in Luke 9. Because that was what Jesus was doing. What he was doing always, he was proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching in their synagogues and healing the sick. That is his ministry. So if we want to have a model of a Christian ministry, that is what Jesus did. So proclaiming that man is a sinner, God is righteous. And for you to escape judgment, you have to repent and turn to him. And then you are taught the ways of the Lord. And then the Lord in his mercy also, he heals. So he is a loving God, a gracious God. And that is what exactly Jesus was doing. And then that is exactly what he is calling his disciples to do. And that is exactly what he is calling us as his own people to do. Because the last part, the opposition, when opposition comes, so in these days and age, what do we do? So I will share that. So this is, I will tell you the authority of Jesus, the disciples, and John the Baptist, and then how they responded to the opposition, isn't it? So these are two areas that govern our thinking. Because it is very important that when we face these troubles, well, we know how to act and what to do in order that we are not discouraged. When we face challenges of various kinds and persecutions, even death itself, so that we know we have been prepared. You see, they always say anything has a price, isn't it? You see, there's a price of being blessed. So the price for being so blessed, hallelujah, do you feel like you are blessed? But the first blessing is for the fact that to know Jesus Christ. So it's the greatest blessings of all. You see, because the place you, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So what are these news that the Herod was hearing? Here we go. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. So this is the ministry of Christ. He came to deliver us from demons and satanic force of darkness. That is his heart. And now he gathered his disciples together. He called them together. You see, the Bible didn't say that he called them to himself. Already he chose them to be his disciples, but he called them together and to give them this gift of authority and power. And I will explain what those means. So he called them together. So the gift is not just for Peter and John and James, it's for all the disciples. He called them together. You see, so there is no partiality here with the gift of God. He called them together. And then now he gave them authority and power. And so let's see, what is these things? What does this mean to what is the meaning of authority and power? You see, power in the original word, they say dynamite, isn't it? Even though dynamite was not invented that time by Alfred Nobel. You see, but actually, what these words do, this dynamite, is describing the ability to affect change. You see? And so if you studied chemistry, they said it's a nitroglycerin. And so it's a very powerful, explosive, really substance that they use to bomb and kill people. So he gave them enormous power to effect change. So here the disciples are coming to face the kingdom of Satan that is so powerful. They need to have power that surpasses the power of Satan to effect change, to liberate people from the dominion of Satan and the power of darkness, to bring them out actually. So it is a powerful thing to be an atheist, isn't it? Or to be a sinner who boasts about his sins. You see, we have seen them even in this country, how they boast about their sin. Am I right? What is the Madre, what is it called? Mardi Gras. Yeah. So they boast about this. And I will mention also something later on about this Christian man whom they opposed so much because he was in opposition to them, Fred Nile. So if I forget his name later, remind me of his name now. I remember his name. He's still alive. He was going to be a missionary to Sudan in the 60s. And so he came in his book here in our church on the 15th of November 2004, after he attempted to be elected into the Senate, and he came number 4. And he told us from here that actually those group, they liken him to John the Baptist. See? So yeah, be aware. I'm giving you a heads up. If you stick to the truth, you might be described like John the Baptist. Hallelujah. So that is what we should not be ashamed. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so here I am preparing you. So the power that Jesus was giving to his disciples is something they will carry with them to be able to drive out demons and to liberate people from under that. So, as I said, it's a powerful thing to be against God and to be really working in the kingdom of Satan. It's a powerful thing. That is why it is not right for believers to be in those places, because it stands really directly against God and really brings judgments. So we praise God. So they were given this authority, this power, so that they demolish the authority of Satan, and also to face the religious leaders of their times, and also even the rulers of the Roman Empire. So Jesus had that power in himself, an authority, because you will see later on they talk a lot about, well, by what authority you are doing this? Where do you get all this power? Didn't you live in these areas? But he has been given. In the readings we heard earlier, he talks about how he has been sent. The power he has is the divine power from heavens. And now he is bequeathing or giving this power to his followers. And power and authority. Authority, how do we do that, exousia? How do we explain that? By what authority? It's just like a legal covering on your activities. We know we live in a world that is in order. You cannot just do anything on your own accord. So you, authority, like you want to sell your house, you have authority to sell it, isn't it? And you have the power actually to change the keys. So this is how authority works. By what authority you do these things in a world that is so organized that there are powers in order and in place, authorities. You see, I give you one illustration. You see, you know the policemen, like the traffic police. I think I might have used this in the past. The traffic police in Sudan and other places, they wear different clothes. In Sudan, they wear white and black belts, and everything else is like the army and the white cap or cap. So when they stand on the runabouts, you see, and traffics, and so they have authority to stop cars, isn't it? And we see the Victorian police or Australian police at times when the things go wrong in intersections, they come and they park. You see, and they come and they use their authority. They stop these cars upcoming, and then they let the other one go. You see, even I can't do it because I was not trained to do that. So they stand and they say, come, 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 or just like, go, things like that. But just imagine if this man stop there and just like actually going through his mobile or doing anything, and he was in the uniform, he's not using his authority, isn't it? The cars will just go and they do what they want, isn't it? Because he got the authority, and that was what Jesus was giving his disciples, to have the authority to use. And this authority is a legal covering so that they go, they do what they do in a world that is so organized. Now, he gave them, always, we look at verbs when we are looking at the word of God. He gave them, you see. So the authority and power is a gift, isn't it? It's something they don't deserve. They are not smart enough to have it, you see. But it's a gift from God, and it's a gracious gift from God to have this power on authority, to go about to proclaim something greater than you, the kingdom of God. You see, what an amazing grace. So these people, they were given this power and authority to drive out. You see, to drive out. The demons were not meant to be friends with human beings, isn't it? They come to destroy and kill, you see, and humiliate human beings, and to make you really low, like animals, to put you with that, when God has created us to be his very own. So he gave them this power and authority, and to drive out demons and to cure diseases. So someone may say to me, like, well, look, I have never cured, because I'm going to move from the disciples to us. Do we claim Luke chapter 9 to be for all Christians? Even if you think that I don't have that power to heal. And people to solve this problem, they just solve it this way. They say you have to be a cessationist. To say that the times of miracle is finished, stop. This was for the disciple and is finished. Others will say, no. This is the nature of Christian ministry. This is the nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in which we live. And actually, this is a gift for the believers who have been called to God. Maybe you may accept that, okay, if someone broke his leg and I have the resources to send him to the best hospital to be treated, and then he can go back actually and run and win the marathon, the London Marathon. Didn't you heal him? How about if you prayed for someone who is sick, extremely sick, and God in his grace heard your prayers for this person? Have you not cured and healed the person? Because exactly that is what Jesus, these disciples were going to do. They were proclaiming the power of Christ. They were given the power and authority to do that. That was not something in themselves. And therefore, you should think like that as a Christian, that also this power and authority is from Christ for you to exercise over the demons and the kingdom of Satan itself. That is what happened. Simple people, weak people like myself, you come and share the gospel with someone, and suddenly the Lord will touch the hearts of the person and repent of their sins, and they cross from death to life. How about that? This is mystery. This is God's work. And we are to be open to this because this is what we are called to have. Maybe we live in a very sophisticated society where the spiritual realms that we are interacting with is subtle. We don't feel it, actually. We don't know a lot. But in some places, you could virtually hear the voices of demons and Satan. And so you are to use the authority that you have against your will if you are to survive, isn't it? So that is why some Christians in those contexts, they take the Christian faith so seriously, because that is their salvation. That is the only way they can survive, isn't it? That is the only way they can survive from demons and witch doctors, you see, who would just do anything to harm you. And maybe even in this country also, if you can discern enough, you can see also these things are active in the form of jealousy. The jealousy has power. That is equivalent to the power of a witch doctor. Well, Jesus, he called them and he gave them this ability to do that, to preach the kingdom of God. That God is calling everyone to repentance and coming to salvation and turn away from your wicked ways. But here there are instructions. If they were going to make really any advancement. And that is also for us even in our day today. That if we are ever going to be effective, we are to do these three things. This is the three things that Jesus told them. Firstly, he empowered and authorized them in verse 1. And then also he gave them this gift. And then he told them how they handle themselves. That is what he's saying. He said to them, take nothing, isn't it? He said to them, take nothing for the journey. Take nothing. Take nothing for journey. You trust me. I will do it. I will help you out. Take nothing. Don't worry about what you do. I am in charge. So a full surrender, a total, really, trust in God. If we are ever going to be able to make any advancement, if we are ever going to succeed in what we are doing. No stuff, protection, I will be your protection. No bag, no saving, no worries for tomorrow. No bread for the body. Just move, keep going, I will provide. There will be houses that will be provided provided for you to live. And when you enter there, stay there, because this is the place I have ordained. And he warned them not to move from place to place. And this trust is so important in the kingdom mentality. As we live in the kingdom, this attitude is so important and is one of the most important attitudes we should ever have as Christians. Because the making arrangements for ourselves can stand on the way of us sacrificing and going forth and leaving behind the things we were doing. Peter and his brother, Andrew, they were fishermen, isn't it? They were called like this business. You are gaining a lot of profits from it, but I'm going to make you to do a different business that will have no direct benefit for you, but you will be bringing benefit for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God here is God and his own people, isn't it? You will be representative of God, and then you will be bringing into the kingdom those Christ is choosing and is bringing. You will be instruments in my hand. And therefore, I will cover you here to the end. And so this is what he told them. He warned them not to do anything. And then also, as he will provide, there will come also a time where things will be very difficult as well. And that is why I said we need to have this mentality of being ready in the good times and in the bad times. For the God, I think it's a song, isn't it? For the God we worship is a God of the good time and the bad times. And so that when things go wrong, we are not discouraged to give up our faith and to abandon it altogether. But we should even be stubborn the more to trust him. For he will not abandon us. These are his instructions, and he will care. If money is an issue, God will provide. God will always provide. If the protection is needed, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall have protection, isn't it? Even if I walk in the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. You see? So that means I will be protected. I think I mentioned this before. Psalm 23, prudence. You see, he prepared the table before me, before the presence of my enemies. You will have wisdom. That is from above. And so here he gave them these instructions and wait for God's time. He says, stay in that place until I move you to where you go. This is what he says. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust of your feet. You will also expect rejection. And as they reject you, they are rejecting blessings from God, isn't it? And so sometimes and humbly, you need to see yourself as a carer of God's blessing, isn't it? So you as a Christian, you are such an important human being here on earth. Because even Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You see, something he has pronounced on you. Even sometimes you don't see yourself like that. The enemy will come and cloud your mind and make you feel hopeless about yourself when what God is saying about you is so incredible. So you heard earlier, this man, Gideon, isn't it? He was hiding, threshing his wheat there because of the Midianites who were robbing them. But God was thinking something different about him, because the power does not lie with you. It's from God, isn't it? Every good and perfect gift is from above. So this is what I am trying to encourage you this morning. I said this in this place many times. My role and the role of every Christian preacher is to raise faith in you that you have faith in your God and you have trust in him. That is my greatest job here in this place, to tell you that you need to look to your God and all the blessings that are there for you and who you are in him. And when you go and doing the ministry you are doing, whether you are a deacon, whether you are a board of management or a musician, everything, you are in instruments in his hand, and he has given you anointing. Even if you are to provide the resources for his ministry, for his kingdom. These are Christian ministries. And you will do this with great blessings at times, and then also with great struggles at times. And it doesn't matter. Let me keep going, because I want to finish very soon. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people wherever they went. So their power and authority was not limited by place or by time. So wherever they went, or even the condition of the people who were there, you see, from different backgrounds, from different race. You see, that is why we as a Christian ministry, we are to have this mindset. It's a ministry to all nations, to every tribe and tongue. You see, and the resources God will give us is for His kingdom. And we don't have our own thinking about how His kingdom should look. That is the kingdom of God. And if we are to be faithful Christians, we are to have this mindset that we are only in His hand. And He can take us wherever He wants and to do whatever He wants us to do for His own glory. And maybe what awaits us might be like what John the Baptist faced, isn't it? Now, that is verse 7. Now, you know, one of the greatest things, like, to have tools to study the Bible that you have developed yourself or you have learned from others is like how the text is put together, isn't it? You see how the text is connected. So you look at things like when and so and now, you see, and because and but and all these things. So they tell you the whole story. They put it together, you see, and so that you have the idea. So now, having said all this, now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed. Well, when the kingdom is at its highest, really prime and glory, will bring perplexion to many people. Will cause people to think, actually. And that was what really was happening during the time of Jesus, of the disciples. You see, when they were just like overpowering every power. And people were just like scratching their head. What is going on? And they look at them. They were not sophisticated, under schools. And then they were just like asking questions. So, and then, they had an idea. They had been with Jesus. This is where the power is coming from. This is where the boldness is coming from. This is where this effectiveness is coming from. You see, this is what really Herod heard. And he was so perplexed. And then he said, like, to himself, because these activities could never be done in any way by any power except that power which comes from God. And that is why they were thinking of the prophets from old, or John the Baptist having come to life, and Herod is saying, I have beheaded him, I killed him. Why there are these things happening? Elijah. So they didn't know that was Jesus and his disciples. And so Matthew 14. So just mention is telling us the circumstances which led to the death of John the Baptist. And we all know about this, isn't it? Herodia and his daughter and her daughter. So they were the people, because the king there, he fears the truth. And that is another thing. Because John the Baptist said to him, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Jesus said in the reading that was read to us in John, that John the Baptist testified to the truth. The disciples were preaching the truth of God, isn't it? So now what happens here is the fact that as these men of God, even Jesus himself, is going to face exactly what John the Baptist faced. The disciples were going to face what really John the Baptist faced, and their master Jesus Christ. And then we are not any better than them. If we are to stick to the truth, and so you can expect the opposition that can be severe to the point of death. Have you heard of the persecution of Christians across the world? You see, in 10 years ago, 21 Christian men were slaughtered in Libya on the shore by the ISIS. 21 of them, they were dressed in orange on the shore of the Mediterranean. And they were persuaded to recant, to deny their Christian faith. And they refused, and they were all died. Actually, they were coming from the Minya, the place I was in early in March for a retreat. They come from a small village that has become, like now, for many Christians around the world, a place to visit and to see. And to see the courage and the faith of those believers. And John the Baptist himself, when he was in prison, he sent even disciples, his disciples, to Jesus. why these things are happening to us. And this is what I want to finish with, actually, as an application for us. You see, the power and the opposition that we can have, and how hot it can go, and how ugly things can turn. And yet that, you see the response of Jesus, and I will tell you the response of Jesus itself. And so they brought his head. His head was cut and brought there, the head of a great prophet that Jesus spoke of at length in some parts of the scriptures. He was a burning, shining lamp. A lamp that was shining the way and shedding light to the ways of Christ himself, and the ways of righteousness and the glory. So he was beheaded and he was killed. But see the response of Jesus himself when the news reached him that John the Baptist was beheaded, because his disciples, after that, they went and they took his body. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. They told Jesus. And things were quiet after that, as if what had happened to John the Baptist was not important. But it was not like that. It's to cushion us and to know that things can go that way. Even Jesus didn't say, oh, they shouldn't have killed him. You see, he knows that the ways of the truth will be faced with opposition, and the opposition can be bad. And so the good news for us today is that even though the enemy may oppose, that will never take away the fact that we have been saved and being put on the right path to the glory of God and for our own blessings. That is why we come and we pray for our needs. That is why we sing songs of praises. You see, that is why we rejoice when the Holy Spirit comes. The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? And so in the midst of all these things, as we proclaim the kingdom of God, as we advance the kingdom of God, as we are kind to others, as we are keeping ourselves holy and pure for the Lord, you see, we are also to expect oppositions from the enemy, and it's a matter that is up to the Lord and on how he will determine our fate and our future. But the death of the John the Baptist that is given to us here came as a result of the challenge that the kingdom of Satan was having, because Herod didn't want to hear the truth. And those who opposed the disciples didn't want to hear the truth. And even in our day to day, our hearers will not love the truth and will hate us so much, and be it, you see, if God ordains things that are hard. But all that you need to do is use. Look to the Lord, and in his wisdom, why he shows you to be his child and to endow you with all the blessings of salvation, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, kindness, integrity, joy of the Lord, love for others, and love for God. You have been exceptionally blessed and set apart for the glory of God and destined for glory. This is the modules of the Christian ministry that I'm talking to you about. That is not only just authority and power, but also of suffering and even to the point of death. And if you are not a Christian, that should not deter you from being a Christian, because actually, the result of all these things is that we appear before the Lamb of God, and we shall sing the songs of glory, and there shall be no pain, no tears, no traffic, no problems at all, and no racism and no tribalism, like in South Sudan, people killing each other. So there won't be things like that in heaven. There will be no sicknesses. You see, yeah, just a lot of machines that we go through in the hospitals. They won't be there. There will be joy unspeakable. There will be blessings, and God will restore us fully. But we are to be prepared as we walk in this wilderness, even though we might have power and the authority from him to do good and to advance God's kingdom and to speak with authority and with the boldness that God gives. So let us be encouraged And today, if you didn't receive Christ as your Lord, you are invited to surrender and to put your trust in him and to beautify you, to forgive your sins, and to set you free from the dominion of Satan. That Satan will not have anything to do with you. You will not be on the drugs. You will not be running on the streets. Or you will not be alcoholic if you keep closer to Christ, because his power is made perfect all the time, even in our weakness. Let us pray.